Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Now, that horrific issued story, there's a number of horrific stories, obviously, in the news today. That 17-year-old young man murdered and dismembered like something out of South America, Narcos, happening in the centre of Dublin, then on the outskirts of Dublin in Mofew. And the second is that tragedy that's unfolding at a spot, and indeed an issue that we spoke about on Liveline last year. And the reason we spoke about the tents on the canal and what was happening to them is that we were contacted by a number of people very concerned about the way the tents were being dealt with when the occupants weren't there. And as you know, yesterday tents were being removed in an operation between the Waterways Ireland, who run the canals, and Dublin Regional Housing Executive, and they were removing the tents. And it now transpires there was a man in one of the tents, and no malicious intent on anyone's part. And I pity the poor driver or operator, male or female, who discovered this tragedy as they lifted or whatever the tent, but that there was a man inside, and he has suffered life-changing injuries, which is absolutely horrific. Now, a number of angles on that, because people are aware that we've been covering this issue with the tents, not just the issue of the tents and homelessness, but how they were being dealt with during the day. And we had an email this morning. As I mentioned, I saw this while walking along the canal at Leeson Street Bridge. The Garda technical team were at the scene of where the homeless man was injured after Dublin City Council, well, it's Waterways Ireland, had cleared up tents with heavy machinery. On the pole right next to the scene are election posters for Housing Minister Owen Murphy. Sending this as a member of the public who walks along the canal to work and has seen tents spring up and at various times been taken down again over the years. There is still a surviving tent down the canal further at Baggot Street Bridge this morning. Now, I want to bring in Mick. Mick is from Donegal, living in Clane. But you reckon yesterday, Mick, that you passed that actual spot where that poor man suffered these life-changing injuries?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that, Joe. And I would put the time almost exactly 20 past 12.
Yesterday.
I was on the 145 bus that goes out to Bray. And it left Houston at 12 o'clock precisely. And I got off around Nutley Lane at 12:30 almost exactly. So I'd say about 20 past, I was passing over the bridge.
And what did you see, Mick? This is important in terms of timing.
What I saw was just off the bridge, I think it's Wilton Terrace there, it's just around the corner from the bridge, there was a man in a yellow jacket, a high-vis jacket. There was another man with him. He may have been with him. He was there beside him. And then down practically on the canal bank, a couple of metres back from the tent and the duvet, it was a bit of a jumble. There was another man who looked like an official assessing the situation. And I just thought...
do you think... Sorry, Mick, for cutting across it. 51551. Do you think that the incident, the tragic accident, had already happened?
No, I think it was just before it, possibly.
Okay.
And when I looked at the remains of the tent and the duvet or whatever it was, big sleeping bag, something, it was fairly bulky, and I just it just crossed my mind. I wonder, is there someone
inside it? Yeah, are you gone off my radar there, Mick?
Yeah,
no, you're back again. You were
sorry, Joe. Yeah. Sorry, I'm in a car. I'm not driving. Did you get that?
Yeah, you saw the scene, but you obviously the accident had not happened because, as we can see from the photograph that Donald sent in to us, the scene is cordoned off with crime scene tape. There are two Garda. No, there's one Garda vehicle visible. Ironically, also in the background is a number of 1, 2, 3 high tower cranes, which are hedgehogging all over Dublin at the moment. It's another Ireland, I suppose. But what? And there's the Owen Murphy poster up now that Donal took the photograph off. Now nobody can predict where you put posters. It's no one's fault. But the only thing is, if that poster was put up after the tragic accident and the tape there indicating that it was a crime scene, or keep Garda out, or Garda keep out, that it was a scene of a serious incident, accidental as we now know. Like, the election wasn't called till what, officially till 3 o'clock yesterday, when Leo Varadkar went to Orsanuchtaron to dissolve the 32nd Dáil. So if those posters were put up, Owen Murphy's posters were put up after, which they can only be, but we know a lot of people, including the Taoiseach, broke that embargo yesterday morning, and they went off putting up posters because they knew the election was coming. But if those posters were put up after the incident, where, and we should ask Owen Murphy in fairness, where the poster... And I know a lot of them now are private companies that are hired to do this. But was whoever erected that poster aware that you were putting up a poster of the Minister for Housing? And I know there's no connection, but it's just a world we live in and the image now that's construed. You're putting up a poster on a pole about 10 feet from where a homeless man who's living in a tent, and it's the Minister for Housing, and as a homeless man who's living in a tent, had been seriously, seriously injured hours beforehand. Or was it just whoever was told to put up the posters, just go and put them up wherever you want? I'd love an answer to that question. Lara Kelly, stay there, Mick, if you would, please. Lara Kelly, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Good. Now, Lara, it was last year you contacted us about this issue. I know it happened for you in late November. Why did you, just remind listeners, why you contacted us about the tent? What had happened?
Well, I was at the Hilton Hotel along the canal, and I just noticed two corporation bin lorries coming around the corner. One guy got out, real official, Dublin City Council jacket on him, walked over, didn't ask if anyone was in the tent, didn't even look to see if there was anyone in the tent. He just pulled it up, dragged it down along the street, and he just threw it into the back of a van.
But he pulled it up manually?
Manually, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There was no machinery involved.
There was no machinery involved.
Okay.
But you could see that this was going to happen somewhere along the line, Joe.
And your point in contacting us that day was to say that you felt they didn't even check if there was anyone in the tent.
Yes. And they didn't. They didn't. And that was three tents that even that they
yeah, actually. And this was 8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this tragedy happened yesterday. Now, there was a codicil, there was a further development. Was it the following night, Lar, you met the man who lived in the tent?
I did, yeah.
Tell us how that transpired.
Well, I had a chat with him, and I was sort of saying to him, like, would you not stay in one of the hostels? And he said, no, I don't feel safe.
Okay.
I can get mugged there. I feel safer sleeping in a tent along the canal than I do in any hostel. So the hostel situation is not a good one either. So if it was me, Joe, to be honest with you, and I was left with sleeping in a tent or going into a hostel where I could be either mugged, my belongings taken, I'd sleep in the tent. But then again, you sleep in a tent, Dublin Corporation come along and lift your tent and all your belongings in it.
Well, there's a statement from, well, we have the statement, and it's thanks to you that we asked the Dublin Regional Housing Homeless Executive back in early December for their response to this. And they said, the Dublin Regional Housing Homeless Executive believes that there is no need for any individual who experiences homelessness to live in a tent, nor does the DRHE provide funding to services that distribute tents to people who are homeless. Tents do not necessarily provide more protection for people who are homeless and prevent people from engaging with the support services that can assist them to move to accommodation. Now, this to me is a very important line. The DRHE, along with our outreach teams, target vulnerable persons using tents on a daily basis to work with them to take up beds and emergency accommodation. Our policy is to remove empty tents with the assistance of our DCC waste management colleagues, where we have successfully moved persons into emergency accommodation and where the tents are unused and have drug paraphernalia littered are within and are therefore unsafe. No personal belongings are ever disposed of or are stored by Dublin Outreach Service. They're saying, now, the sentence is ambiguous. Maybe there should be a comma there. They target vulnerable people using tents on a daily basis. Does that mean they check on them every single day, or they check on people who use tents on a daily basis? And we work with them. They've also said that the man who suffered these life-changing injuries yesterday when he was lying in the tent, when a machine attempted to remove the tent with the assistance of the DRHG, they've also said that that man, they had offered him accommodation and obviously he hadn't accepted it. Now, whether this is the grim reality, people, as you say, they feel safer living in tents. Now, Lar, and indeed I'll ask Mick as well, the man who sent us in the photograph of the poster literally overhanging the spot where that man was seriously injured, he's not, in one sense, he's not impugning, but he's deeply upset about the image. And he said he saw the poster this morning, which means it must have gone up at some stage yesterday. And I say the question is, did it go up before or after? Not the election was called, because we know that's ignored, but did it go up before or after that incident happened? And whoever erected the poster of the Minister for Housing above that spot, did they realise that there had been an accident? Well, obviously anyone who goes along that spot, as Mick testifies, Lar testifies, and Donal, who emailed us, testifies, anyone who goes along that spot or anyone who drives knows that there's lots of people unfortunately living in tents along that stretch of the canal. Now, Mick, the other argument I presume that the government will put forward is, now, no matter what you do, and they say, the DRHE say, we offer this man accommodation, no matter what you do, there'll always be some people, because of tragic circumstances, invariably, or a perfect storm of circumstances, will either want to or will end up homeless. So I suppose the point I'm making, Mick, do you think this is a party political issue around the general election? Because we're told homelessness is going to be the big issue.
So there's two types of homeless here. Mm-hmm. There's what we might call rough sleepers, and then there's the people who maybe they're put up in a hotel accommodation because for whatever reason they can't pay the mortgage or the rent, so on.
Yeah.
Now, there's a world of difference between them. The easier one maybe to solve is the homeless, where people haven't got accommodation.
Yeah.
The rough sleeping, that's a big problem for society, and I don't know where you start, and I don't know what you do.
Go on, but it's reminding us that it is a complex issue.
Yeah.
Mick, thanks for that. Let me bring in Etna Casey. Etna, you pass that spot at Leeson Street every day. Are you? Were you aware?
Well, almost every day from the dark. I'm very aware. Now, the only, I would say maybe the maximum along that area from the dark station would be about 3 to Leeson Street. 2 or 3
tents,
and I pass them regularly. Yeah. And I've always felt I don't understand the safety issue. I just sort of believe that these people who are doing this should tell the truth. They don't like them there. The Waterworks Ireland, an organisation I like, doesn't want them there. That's the reason.
Well, the DRHE said they moved them for health and safety reasons.
But they don't specify what they are. I've walked along there, you know, as I say, about 3 times a week on to work. I've thought, and I'd see, you know, some, let's say, a pint of milk outside their tent or some small items. And I just felt so much, you know, for somebody having to live there. And I sort of feel that that's the issue.
Let's
move them out of sight. I believe is the real motivation.
Now,
they should be honest about that.
And just to remind people, Etna, that stretch now, on the canal going down towards Google and Facebook.
It's between Google and Facebook and Leeson Street that I'd be walking.
Street.
Yeah,
it's like Grafton Street. The number of pedestrians in early morning going to work. It is a very, very busy spot. So where are the tents impeding those pedestrians?
Not at all. You see, most people walk along the pathway, but I would walk deliberately down and along the canal because I like walking along the canal, and there's a tarmac out and path to walk on. And you pass 110, there's 110 near Kavanagh's Street, as far as I remember. And then there's one up, there was always one up at Leeson Street. But they're not, they're on the grass, it's a grass verge. The path where most people walk is on the road of Leeson Street, which is actually up higher, because you have to go down a few steps to get to the canal, the canal walkway. You know? Anyway, as I say, I've been walking there and there's never been an issue. I'd be looking at the birds and the ducks and swans.
Well,
maybe.
We have to take the statement from Waterways Ireland and DRHE at face value.
Yeah.
They're saying
that
I think there is a dilemma here, a contradiction, so to speak. And that is, on the one hand, we have a statement from DRHE and Waterways Ireland saying we removed them for health and safety reasons. Now, we presume that's health and safety to do with the occupants of the tent or people passing by or whatever. However, if you're removing something for health and safety reasons, surely paramount is health and safety.
Safety of the person in the tent.
Of how you're doing. Obviously, they didn't know there was someone in the tent.
Listen, how could anybody, I don't know what implement they were using, how could anybody not open the zip of a tent and look inside?
Well, you could see there's no point in me attempting to answer by saying, well, it could have been 12 sleeping bags and they might have just got the impression. There's no malice here. It's an accident. But what were the procedures, I suppose?
And, well, it sounds very negligent.
Well, that's to be decided by other people, not by us, Etna, in fairness. And as I say, as you have, incredible sympathy for that poor man who suffered life-changing
injuries.
I
know nothing about what it's... I haven't been listening to the radio, so I actually don't know if it's been any new news. I've been with my granddaughter since.
This is the statement about yesterday's incident. An incident occurred yesterday, the 14th of January, they don't tell us what time, involving a homeless man. It was obviously daylight working hours. A process to remove the tents that were placed in a precarious and dangerous location. Was carried out by Waterways Ireland. A staff member from Dublin Regional Homeless Executive was in attendance. An individual was injured during the process and was taken to hospital. The Dublin Regional Homeless Executive is currently liaising with the hospital and every support is being provided. Our thoughts are with this man at this time. The executive has been engaging with the individual for some time and accommodation remains available to him. Well, the inference there is that he was offered accommodation and said no. Every action that is taken by state services is taken in the interest of health and safety of those individuals experiencing homelessness. The matter is currently being investigated by the Gardaí. No further comment.
Well, that's a very typical non-statement when somebody doesn't want to come clean about. I mean, it's just so the obvious questions are, you know, they didn't say what sort of an implement they were using. Why didn't they?
There's a statement.
What happened? Did the man start screaming? You know, it's just...
Yeah, and there's a load of questions. Dublin, this is Waterways Ireland statement, who run the canals and a lot of other things besides. Dublin Regional Homes Executive worked collaboratively with Waterways Ireland to remove tents along the canals where they've become a public safety hazard. The process is initiated by DRHE with the homeless person. And it is only when that negotiation is complete and arrangements made that Waterways Ireland is contacted to remove the temporary accommodation on the bank. Now, the inference there is from Waterways Ireland is we are told all the tents are empty. Under our bylaws, Waterways Ireland is required to maintain safe the canals and waterways. On the 14th of January, an incident occurred in Leeson Street, which is where we're talking about, on the Grand Canal yesterday. A guard investigation belonged to Waterways with no further comment. But they're saying... Yeah. The process is initiated by the DRHE with the homeless person, and it is only when that negotiation is complete and arrangements made that Waterways Ireland is contacted to remove the temporary accommodation on the canal bank. So they're saying that we're contacted by the DRHE and told that tent was empty. That's what they're saying.
There's two issues, another issue, as well. A waterways company is hardly the proper authority to remove people in any manner at all.
Well, they're saying,
in particular, the way
but
the way
Waterways
they
Ireland were saying, we are never called to remove people. That's the emergency there. We were called to remove the temporary accommodation.
For goodness sake. I mean, yeah. So therefore, we weren't told there's anybody in it, so we'll just plunk whatever implement they had and cause life-changing injuries to somebody who already suffers. I mean,
I say this before the break, and I'd stay with this, Etna, but I'm very conscious. One of the life-changing injuries, but two of the operator of that vehicle who did not.
Oh,
there was
the
an
trauma
accident.
That he's,
yeah, the
yeah,
trauma.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
or she.
Yeah.
Okay, Etna, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Now, as Donald pointed out to us, he sent us in a photograph of Owen Murphy's poster above the spot where the accident happened. And now people have sent us in photographs of Eamon Ryan of the Green Party and the People Before Profit candidate Annette Mooney. Their posters around the spot. Now, the photograph isn't clear enough to indicate that they can. In the Owen Murphy photograph that we received, it's quite clear that there's... I'll send it out again there now at Joe Liveline. It's clear that this crime scene is right below it, or the accident scene. And I'm looking at the other candidates in Dublin Bay South. I know these constituencies are changing, and indeed all candidates haven't declared, but Kate O'Connell's a candidate, Jim O'Callaghan, Kevin Humphreys for Labour. He was putting up posters yesterday. That was in the papers today, but I don't know what area he was in. Sarah Dorkin, Social Democrats, and Deputy Eamon Ryan, and Jackie of Greens, and Jackie Gilborn of Renew. Okay, 51551. Margaret, Margaret Rafferty. Margaret, you want to raise another issue about the whole scenario of tents in that general area of down the canal and into Ringsend. Go ahead, Margaret.
Margaret, sorry, Joe, thank you very much for just giving me a moment.
Yeah.
Just listening to the tragedy that has unfolded, I just want to just maybe bring up a little reminder that people may have forgotten. About a year and a half ago, I'm from Sandymount, there was a girl raped in the estuary by a lad that was housing himself in a tent.
A Spanish woman,
and
isn't that correct?
He was severely raped and held hostage for a very long period of time. She was a Spanish student that came to Ireland to learn English. And it was an appalling, horrific situation that happened in our locality around the estuary. And it was, from what I understand, from what we were told at our residents association as well, that the Dublin City Council had made the decision to remove the tents from these unauthorised places. And it wasn't to go against homeless people, but it was really as a safety to the public that were living around and going for walks along the estuary. And people were taking regular walks down around the estuary on a Sunday, mm-hmm. and not knowing that this girl was already being held hostage as they walked by with their dogs in a tent.
Okay.
Drugged severely and raped, and really an appalling situation.
Okay.
And that's why I think Dublin City, and I'm not defending them, but in fairness, they have to remove them from all over the place. They just can't allow them being erected, whilst it is a great idea for people that are genuinely homeless to get something over their head. I understand fully, but there's also the safety. No one knows what's going on inside all of the tents, and I don't care what anyone says, but this was a horrific situation that I felt I needed to remind people out there, because it's forgotten. And that was only about a year and a half ago.
Okay. And wasn't there, was a chap called Owen Berkeley was sentenced to 14
he
years
He was sentenced, exactly,
attack.
Exactly. But it is horrific. He was housing himself in a tent and had been there for some longevity period of time, enjoying everything around, and this is what happens as well. So there is a situation.
Jack Dempsey, Jack, good afternoon.
Hello, hi Joe, how you doing?
Good. What you reckon you saw the aftermath of the incident?
I did. I saw the poor man. I was bringing my uncle up to the Ioneer Hospital, and we walked across the bridge there about 10:30, 11:30, and then I was heading back over. I don't know, an hour and a half or 2 hours later to fill the parking meter. And there was a huge kerfuffle with fire engines and medical people. And I looked down, right down over the bridge. I looked straight into the man's eyes. I felt uncomfortable even doing that. But he looked to be in a serious condition. But the point I really wanted to make, Joe, when I was when we first were walking, I looked across and I saw this tent, and I just could not believe the incline that the tent was sitting on. So I heard that lady saying there earlier about the health and safety issue. There definitely was a health safety issue with this particular tent. I don't know how that man didn't slide into the bloody canal, because it was just so sheer. It was amazing that it stayed there. So the words health and safety are bandied about and overused dramatically in this country, but there was definitely an issue there. But to clear a tent with a digger...
We don't know what happened. That's the problem.
Or whatever, machinery.
But Jack, can you tell me what time you saw the fire engine there?
Okay, well, we went into the Ioneer. We were severely delayed on the N7. We went into the Ioneer. I think we got in there about 20 to 11. And I had filled up. I was parked on Sussex Road there. And I went back over. I remember I put money in to take my up to 140. Was it 140 or 1240? I can't remember now. But I think it was 1240. And I went back over to fill the meter at around that 1240 time.
Okay.
And there was a fierce kerfuffle and a lot of fire engines and medical people.
My point is, I know but just in terms of people being upset about the poster going up, this was before the election was officially called.
That's correct,
So we presume there was no election posters up.
I don't remember seeing any, Joe, to be honest with you.
And they're big enough, so the posters were put up after the event.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't remember seeing any posters, but I do remember. I couldn't believe somebody was living in that. I thought it was actually just stuff that had been dumped, and just the incline where that tent was pitched was just unbelievable.
Okay. Let me I was going to read out a few more tweets. People saying, like, you can't blame any. Which is your point as well, I think, Jack. Like, nobody knows, and the point that this man was offered accommodation just because somebody put a poster nearby, you can't add one and one and get seven in this case. Okay, Jack. Above all, we hope that man makes a full recovery. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie, and people are sending in more photographs of tents on the canal and at that exact spot where that tragedy happened. And one photograph, if it's the spot, I'm trying to work out the various signs and traffic lights and buildings. I think it is the spot because I travel past it almost every single day. It's a tent. It's full of what looks like pillows and sleeping bags. Now, it's not a flat tent, and you would have to go over to it. I don't know. Anyway, doesn't Sam Corbett. Sam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Joe. How are you?
Good. You're a captain by trade, and I know you own passenger barges. Tell us, what did you see, or what can you see from the where you do be on the canal?
Well, we come across a number of tents up there at Mesmer Road and Leeson Street. The two barges, passenger barges we operate, are at berth at Mesmer Road. And they pass by up by Leeson Street every second day, bringing tourists and the like past the tents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a difficult situation because you see guys living in tents there. And it's a terrible thing to have to go and get Waterways Ireland or one of the communities to remove the tents, because ultimately, the wind blows them down, Joe, and they end up in the canal, mm-hmm. and all the junk ends up in the canal, or they're abandoned, which we had seen there. We had thought that tent, if you call it a tent, that pile of rubbish had been abandoned a month ago. It's been there for about 2.5 months.
Okay.
And that photograph I sent in was taken about 2 weeks ago.
Do you think that's the exact spot, Sam?
I haven't been up there today, Joe, to tell you the truth. But that's the only tent at Leeson Street.
It looks like it, yeah.
And it's on the incline there, and there are not that many tents. There was another one just further up, and that just became a big, huge pile of rubbish. And eventually, the council had to come up and pick up the ticket after this. It was just important that people realise that it's not a tent that you'd see in a campsite. The guys just picked up out of nowhere. That was a big pile of rubbish, and we've been at Waterways for a while to see if they could have it removed, because we bring 60 tourists at a time down past there, and everybody goes over and takes photographs of the tents and shows us the people in Germany and go, look at the homeless people in Ireland, look at the state of the place. not great.
They have homeless people in Germany as well.
But
would there be rodents there, Sam?
That's ultimately what's attracted them. When there's a lot of food left around the place, Joe, it just increases the...
There's no gainsaying it. There is an awful lot of rubbish there. Now, there is what looks like a circular tent, a popular electric picnic and all that carry on. But as you say, it looks more like a rubbish tip. But would you remove it by hand rather than by machine?
You can see the inclination that it's at. It's at the abutment of the bridge.
Okay.
It's very difficult to get around there for a man to get around. The bridge comes down, and it's as if there was this embankment just developed over the last 100 years on the side of the bridge, and it's about 30 degrees, like the last man was saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's such an amount of rubbish there, and it did look abandoned. Probably be more prudent if you're using machinery to have at least a peek.
Okay.
But you would never have thought there was anyone living in it.
Okay,
know?
Okay. Sam, thanks, thanks indeed, Sam. And safe travelling. 51551, joe@rt.ie. Well, I want to go back to that tragedy in the tent at Leeson Street Bridge, because the Taoiseach has been, as far as I can see from Twitter, talking about it in the last few minutes. I'm trying to work out, I was listening there during the break, who was asking the question. It might be Gavin Riley of Today FM, but this is on TV3. This is the Taoiseach talking about the tragedy at Leeson Street Bridge with that man in the tent who suffered life-changing injuries when the tent was being removed by state authorities.
People who are homeless in this country when a man sleeping in a tent was removed with industrial machinery and has suffered life-changing injuries.
Yeah, I heard about that this morning, and you say I'm very concerned about it. I'm always loath to comment on any individual case until we know all the facts, and we know from experience that the initial reporting can often be different from the later reporting. But what I've been told so far is that a man was injured while at Dublin City Council and Waterways Ireland were trying to remove some tents. He is in a serious condition, but is stable. He is well known to homeless services and has been offered emergency accommodation in the past. The accommodation in the past will be offered it again in the future. But obviously our thoughts are with him. We hope he makes a speedy recovery and we'll do everything we can to make sure that he's accommodated.
Should Dublin City Council stop removing tents in that way without checking them? I mean, this is something which seems to have been a policy of removing tents.
One to two questions from each person, sir.
My understanding is that the City Council and Waterways Ireland did check the tents before removing them, but obviously something went wrong here. I think it's important that the City Council and the Lord Mayor, who's politically responsible to the City Council, should make a statement on Waterways Ireland too. But the most important thing is that we wish him a speedy recovery. He is known to homeless services, has been offered accommodation in the past, will be offered accommodation in the future. We'll do everything we can to reduce rough sleeping. I remember when we took over the housing department.
Okay, I'm sure the next piece, I'm sure, was about Fianna Fáil's record. But anyway, a number of things there in the Taoiseach's statement about what happened. One, he says that the tent was checked beforehand. That's what he's been told by Waterways Ireland and Dublin City Council. Well, it was the Dublin Region Housing Executive who were there, not Dublin City Council. And secondly, he then made the point that the political leadership at Dublin City Council should issue a statement. The Lord Mayor, well, as it happens, the Lord Mayor happens to be a Fianna Fáiler and is standing for election. So I don't know why his name was invoked, because the Dublin City Council, as far as we know, weren't involved. And the Taoiseach also undertook to offer the man a accommodation. I presume it's going to be disability friendly accommodation for that poor man after he recovers from life changing injuries. Let me go back to the issue now that it has taken over the programme, and this is this horrific situation where this man suffered life threatening injuries when his tent was being removed by the state bodies at the canal. He suffered life changing injuries. I'm reading a tweet here, just see, from Owen Murphy. I'll retweet it for you, actually, in fairness. I was saddened to hear of the incident by the canal yesterday. My thoughts are with this poor man as he recovers in hospital. I've demanded a full report to the incident, which is under guard investigation. My campaign poster, which was located at the scene, has been removed. Now, we've also been told other campaign posters were there as well. In fairness, let me bring in Tony. Tony, good afternoon.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Your observations, please.
I just wanted to, I suppose, well, first of all, like my thoughts were with that family that you just had on a second ago. It's horrific. But I just wanted to go back to the point raised earlier on in the programme about, you know, people accessing homeless services. I work with homeless people, and I suppose a lot of the things that I see in my day-to-day work is that there's an awful fear and an awful terror sometimes about people going into homeless accommodation, temporary homeless accommodation, as it's known.
Because you know the government argument, and you heard it from the Taoiseach there earlier, and it is backed up by financial figures that, what's it, €1 billion a year now in housing in terms of HAP and rent supplement and
There was an issue in the paper yesterday.
Just to finish, in fairness to them, they say there is no need for anyone to sleep rough, that there is enough accommodation available. That's the argument from the government. And they say that,
unfortunately they say that, but realistically on the ground level with the people that I work with on a day-to-day basis, they don't want to access those services.
Why not? Well, tell us why.
There's fear, Joe.
Fear of what, Tony?
Fear of being, one of your callers said earlier on about, you know, their items being taken, being robbed, being
mugged.
Well,
there's no way of addressing that.
I don't have an answer for that, Joe, unfortunately. I really don't have an answer for that. But from the people that, unfortunately, I don't hear their voices on the radio, and these are the people that maybe RTE need to connect with, is the real people on the street, and it's not like voices in some higher echelon of government that don't really matter. Like, it's the real people on the street that need to be heard. And I guarantee if you walk down Grafton Street...
Yeah, you walk with them, what do you think they would say?
I think they would say they are just not... 60% of them would say, I'm not going into a shelter. I'm not going into homeless accommodation. Because there are huge issues with people going into accommodation that they are just not equipped to cope with. There's addiction issues.
I know it's complicated.
Serious mental health issues, you know, that are not being addressed. And unfortunately, you know, as a worker... You know, sometimes we feel that we are just not capable of doing enough, you know, to meet the needs of these people. And it's about meeting the needs of these people that needs to be looked at in a different way.
And what is that different way? Is it because it is, I take the point, Tony, that you're making, that it is extraordinarily complicated. And in one sense, you'd nearly say to people that we can't. Will anything come of making this a party political issue in the election? Because it's every
to
party.
To be honest, Joe, I think it's talk, it's lip service. I think everybody just is talking now at this stage about what needs to be said, and I think it's gonna be overshadowed by the election. Like I live in I'll say outside Dublin, but you know, even on my way home today, I noticed that there are. Election posters up already, like, 24 hours after the election was...
Well, they were up 4 hours before the election was called, but that's neither here nor there. But the government, the government would say, is like, okay, we own it because we're in power, but we didn't create it. And if someone else was in power, would there be a difference, like, in terms of the propulsion for this perfect storm that we've come into in terms of housing, and there are no housing built during the recession, massive immigration for obvious reasons from different parts of the world, incredible growth in Facebook, Google, they all need accommodation. Mm-hmm. So you have this perfect storm which will not be solved overnight. But anyway, it gets complicated. And I remind people as well, Tony, thanks indeed, that when we had our vote on the eve of Christmas Eve as to what was the biggest issue, the low point of the last decade, by a long shot, Liveline listeners voted homelessness, believe it or not, as a low point, not believe it or not, for the last decade. Okay, back tomorrow at 1:45. Angus McInerney, producer Ray Darcy's next.